Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Welcome to the KP Podcast, coming to you here from the Forum in the KP Studios. You've got myself, P, with our co-host, Keith. Good to be back with you guys. And summertime here in the Phoenix area, Keith, is hot, man.
I actually have a quote for you guys. It is literally a heat wave in the middle of June. If anybody knows what reference that is to, $5 gift card to Starbucks on me. So anybody that messaged us, heat wave in the middle of June.
I would say first person that messaged.
Yeah, first person. Not every person. It might be a low, you know, but reference, pop culture reference. It's out there, guys.
I don't know
that one. Because it is hot.
I don't know that one.
It is very, very toasty. 117 today in the Phoenix metro.
Yeah. You know what I did before we go in? So I've liked to go running outside. I've been trying to go running here these last few months. I went running outside on Monday.
Okay.
And I almost passed out, dude.
Yeah.
Like it was literally, bro, I barely made it home.
Yeah. It was,
I'm done now. I'm done with that.
Ann and I, we went up to Sedona, and, when we were at a private Airbnb, we were going to, and there was 3 fire trucks, 2 ambulances, 4 search and rescue trucks lined up on this one single lane road that we had to like wait to get past them. They all had to move over. And we come to find out that a guy that lived there his whole life, like basically got lost on his own trail, and it was 105 out in Sedona.
Yep.
And yeah, not a good day for that neighborhood.
Rescuing those hikers. Yeah, especially for out of towners. Do not try. Yes. Everybody likes to come out and try to hike Camelback. That's not an easy one, guys. Don't go up there when it's this hot if you're not used to it. Well, cool. Let's get into it, man. So today we're going to be talking about something, topic that comes up here from time to time. I think it's a little more relevant these days with advertising and how people are getting business. And the question is, should I pay for pay-per-click leads, or some people just call them internet leads?
I love this topic because it has fundamentally changed over the course of the last 5 years, just like everything in real estate. Five, six years ago, the answer to that question is going to be much different than it is today. When we first started the team, I would say that is the most relevant team growth source of business out there.
Right.
Wouldn't you probably agree to that? And now we got ourselves questioning, should we even pay for them to begin with?
Yeah. Do they work? Is it worth it? All of that.
I was going to say, so it is the most, one of the most common lead sources out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. It is still involved in so many people's business. You still see advertisements for pay-per-clicks. Like people are wanting you to purchase pay-per-click. That market is out there. There's plenty of people that will pay for, or you can pay for a service to help them help you provide internet leads and what that looks like. But really, let's dig deep on, is it still worth it? What does that cost look like? Are we changing direction as a market?
Yeah. And let's just spend a quick minute to make sure we're all on the same page so that I think everybody knows, but for anyone out there who's not exactly sure what we're talking about. So when we're talking about pay-per-click, some of the most common ones that you'll see out there are like Google pay-per-click ads, Facebook ads, banner ads, on websites, other social media sites. Basically, it's advertising that you are, as the title says, you're paying per click, per times that people are clicking on it. So somebody sees something in a Google search or on a Facebook ad or what have you, it interests them, they're clicking on it, they're getting to your website, your landing page, whatever it is. So those are your Google pay-per-click ad, or I'm sorry, your pay-per-click ads. And those are the most common, but they range. There's all kinds of versions of it. But that's what we're talking about here. So I think it's also important to point out that there are 2 primary types before we go, further into what we're seeing now with them and is it working? And those 2 common types that everybody should know about, it's called interruption versus shopping or searching leads. So what do we mean by that?
Well, a key example of that is, let's say Pete is waking up from an early morning day. And is jumping on Facebook on his phone just sitting down, looking at some of his friends' posts, you know, whatever, whatever pizza, scanning for some cat videos, who knows, whatever it is. And all of a sudden,
dogs, but
yeah. An ad stops. It interrupts your scroll to show, hey,
catches my eye.
Yeah. It's trying to stop the scroll. That's an interruption. They're trying to interrupt the scroll or the movement or the clicks so that you click on an ad. So now that's usually a banner ad on Facebook. We see them all the time. An Instagram scroll ad. Those are all ads trying to stop us. And they're usually always found on social media because you're not going to social media to go look for houses. You're going to social media for a different purpose and you need to be interrupted to take you there. So that's really what it is. And they're usually showing an ad such as, let's look for houses in the Gilbert area. Maybe they're monitoring some things you've looked at in the past, or they're doing, hey, how much is your house worth? You know, those are the two most common ads out there that you're going
to
see.
Yeah. So they're picking up as we all know, Google and Facebook are listening to us and seeing everything.
I'm going to get an ad right now.
You're going to get an ad. We're going to get ad. Both going to start getting ads right after this. So they see what you're doing and then they're trying to tailor those and you'll see it in your feeds, like you said. And then the second type is what are called the shopping or the searching. And the difference there is you've gone with the intention to say, look for a house. So you've gone into Google, let's say, and you've searched a term, you know, homes with pools in Gilbert.
Yeah.
And so that is what we're calling the shopping and the searching one. And that was, you went there with that intention. You weren't streaming through looking for your puppy videos and saw something cool and decided to click on it. You went there looking for houses or houses with pool in Gilbert. And so then you've got ads that are coming up there. So the reason we point that out is because two different types of ads leads to, and the two different types that of people that are clicking on them means that you're getting different lead types,
right?
Different people, different stages in the process, different interest levels, all of that. And so you want to be cognizant of, you know, what are you getting? The interruption ones, oftentimes they're just maybe they're a lot longer out or they're just kind of curious, as opposed to a shopping or searching. If you've got a specific search you put in that says, you know, homes with pools in Gilbert under 500K, well, you've already got something in mind and you've gone there and now you're looking at something specific and you're probably, you know, much further along in that process. You might even be actively looking at that point, as opposed to me looking at my puppy videos and then I saw a cool house
cat
that
videos.
I clicked on.
No, cat videos.
You got your cats. I got my puppies.
Well, so, and to go more in depth into that with those interruption leads, I would say the changes they've had over the last 5 years, I would say. First off, they've gotten a lot better, right? They know people better. They've had 5-10 years of data mining and figuring people out to know when to place ads, how often to place them, and what exactly triggers it. However, alongside the ads getting better, so have people. So what used to work a lot better 10 years ago is starting to look like it's less efficient. Mm-hmm. People realize, oh my gosh, it's another ad. It's another ad. They're so used to seeing ads now that they don't click on them, I think, as effectively as what they used to do. You used to be able to get a Facebook lead, let's just say 5 years ago, and that could turn into a legitimate business deal fairly quickly. It might be a little bit further out. They might be 4 to 6 months out because they're just hinting at the process. But that curiosity does open up those conversations to meet more and more agents out there in the marketplace. Whereas a Google pay-per-click lead, that could be a contract that next week, that next month potentially.
Right.
So that's changed dramatically, as I think the shopper themselves, the client, the customer for these lead sources, they're starting to figure out what it means to click something on Facebook and then put in their info.
Right.
They know they're getting called here
exactly.
soon.
Exactly.
So that changed the game quite a bit as well.
And I think that's important for all these aspects. Anytime we're doing any type of marketing or understanding kind of where our clients are coming from. And this is something that, you know, all team leaders, agents, everybody out there has to keep in mind. Consumer behavior has changed and will continue to change. And some people understand that and some people are a little bit behind the curve on that. But what I mean is, you know, Keith, and you and I have talked about for years, this narrative that was out there that millennials and Gen Z, you know, they didn't want realtors. They didn't use realtors. They just wanted to go on there and click and buy something. And for years we've been saying that's absolutely not true. And the numbers, you know, support what we're saying. In fact, we consistently see, and I've seen for years, that millennials and Gen Z use realtors to actually purchase or sell their homes at higher rates than any previous generation. And where people get confused with that is that millennials and Gen Z, what they're doing is they're going on there and they're doing a lot of the research themselves. They're getting a lot of the information themselves. This is a groups that are much more well-informed than people like to give credit for. In the past, a lot of that information just wasn't available. And so they'd come to us as agents much earlier in the process. Yep. And what's changed is people are coming to us much later in the process. By the time now, especially, like I said, your millennials and your Gen Z, by the time they're talking to us, they're ready to put offers in.
Yeah.
They're ready to list that house. Like, they're coming to us with more information and more prepared than they previously have, than most generations previously have. So this consumer behavior is changing, which, like you said, is changing the leads that we're getting. It's changing how they're clicking on it. It's changing the ads that are going out. And people need to realize that's a change that's not coming or happening. It happened.
Yeah.
And it happened over the last, several years, and it's continuing to go that way.
So I got a question for you then, because I think that's changed quite a bit of things, right? The consumer behavior, the type of buyer coming into the marketplace. Mm-hmm. So what has that effectively done to the personal referral type transaction from these younger generations? Because with so many young buyers coming, they've never bought a house. This might be their first home purchase.
Right.
Are they still going to their parents, their close friends, saying, hey, tell me an agent, I need to meet with them? Or are they searching online for an agent or searching online for a house and dealing with the agent portion of it later?
Yeah, the referrals, that referral network has certainly decreased. We certainly don't want to say that, it's not there or that's not an important part of your business, because it is. But, the past where people could solely rely on the referrals or build it, their business completely based on that as the number one factor, that's changed dramatically. Because like you said, these are informed clients that want to go on and check you out, Keith. They want to see, what are your reviews? What are you doing? What kind of tools do you have? Do you fit with what they're looking for? And not necessarily use, maybe who their parents were using.
Yep.
And so it's changed that a lot. And like you said, obviously, the referral is still something you want and you're trying to get, but it has definitely changed over the last 10 years dramatically.
So, and I think to help you guys understand, is it worth paying for PPC in this market and what this looks like? We have to evaluate some of these other lead sources alongside it to know, where are these leads coming from? Is there still a strong majority of these coming from the internet? And the other big lead source that's referral based that is being affected heavily by online searches is the agent referral source as well. So agent referrals coming from other market used to be a lot more active. It used to be, hey, I'm selling my client's house in California and I'm going to refer this buyer in the Midwest. Well, let's just say the prime example. Well, now that consumer can list their house in California just the same as they were, but they can immediately go online and search for houses in the Midwest without the help of an agent. In the past, I'd say 5 or 6 years ago, even 7 years ago, it was much more difficult to know what you were looking for and where to find. But now with all the interactive maps and some of these big referral sources and these websites, you can go and search for a house in anywhere in the entire country,
right,
from your own living room and probably get a good feel of where you want to be. Google's got 3D virtual walkthroughs now. Like, how often do you need to go and talk to an agent at the point of a click, put your info in, wait for them to call you, and then set up a search? So when we're talking about that consumer behavior, they're relying less on agents reaching out and contacting them through an online service from normal banner ads and interruption ads and things like that than what they used to, if that makes sense.
Right. So it's just like we're saying, the process, our interaction with our clients is changing. And so to make sure we're clear with people out there, this is not to say, because some people mistakenly say this, oh, they don't need realtors, then they can do all this on their own. That's not at all what we're saying. They're actually, like we said, using realtors more.
Yep.
It's just how realtors are interacting, where realtors come in, what the value of a realtor is changing. Before, it used to be much more involved at the very, very
early stages.
Very early stages, and that has changed dramatically. And so, obviously, with this consumer behavior changing and the advertising changing, there's some pretty big players that have taken notice of this. Huh? We've got a lot of large companies, a lot of large players with a lot of money. They're not dumb. They see this.
And this is why I'm going to tackle this question. Should I pay for PPC? And my argument would be maybe. And here's why, because I know that's an easy question or an easy answer to what sound we're
like
trying
to
do.
Sound like a lawyer, right? Over there.
But I'm going to say it's definitely possibly maybe, depending on what you're looking at, because of one of two things. Are you receiving leads or business from outside sources at a good pace? For instance, when Pete's talking about competing with these big players, there are some really big players that affect our marketplace heavily, such as Zillow, Realtor.com, OpCity. We have use Homelight, UpNest. There's so many. There's 10s and 15s. I'm just naming a couple of the big ones. But there's a lot of online lead sources that are companies specifically going out to find that, charge a referral fee, and they're doing the ad spend for you. So now if you think about that, they're putting millions, and I would probably argue billions of dollars collectively into the marketplace through ad spend, through marketing to get your attention. Now, for me, like just say I was doing it as an individual and I want to go on and I want to go get Google pay-per-click leads, that's fine. I'll pay about $14 to $18 a lead or maybe even more depending on how big of an ad spend I'm doing or what that looks like, how good my keywords are, right? But I got to do all that work, which I obviously am not good or not as good as a Zillow or a realtor.com, but I got to go do all that. And I got to do the research or I got to hire someone that knows what they're doing. And then my ad budget has got to compete against $1 million in just one zip code, potentially in Phoenix from all of these sources. How far down the list do I fall, Pete?
Yeah, you got to compete. And the tough part, like you said, is, you know, you're fighting against not only these big players in it, but that consumer behavior.
Yeah.
We saw, which I think was, you and I talked about, was pretty incredible. Not to, focus on any one particular company, but the fact is there was times in the fourth quarter of 2020, there were months where Google reported that the term Zillow was searched for more than homes houses. For sale.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for in search that resulted in people looking for homes. And so that is exactly what we mean by consumer behavior. You have all of these companies, like I said, not single any of them out. They're all doing the same thing. And what they're doing is trying to create that front end client experience. They're creating these platforms. They've created these ecosystems where people know what to expect from them. And they're focusing solely on that first step, that initial client contact, if you will, and it's trained consumers and trained clients mm-hmm. to go to these resources first. Like you said, they've put a lot of money and marketing resources behind doing that. And so if you're trying to do your own pay-per-click, you're competing. You're basically
David against Goliath.
I was going to say you're kind of Keith's convenience store competing against Walmart. Can you compete? Kind of. I mean, you little can exist.
Fish,
yeah. But
big pond.
Right. But the Walmart next door to you with, 10,000, 100,000 items, whatever they got in there at prices that you can't touch, you know, that's who you're competing against.
So, and I think that's important to say. So if I was to put it on a scale of 10 being, yes, you should 100% go out there and get pay-per-click and one being like, absolutely not, run for the hills. I'm probably going to land at like a 3. I really am. I'm going to be like a 2-3 because there are better solutions now in this market for mm-hmm. what you'd be doing. If this was 5 or 6 years ago, I'd be like a 7 or an 8. There was still so much value. The amount of leads that turned into business was so much higher as a percentage rate. We used to be able to, we looked at them and just overall looking at the business, about 4 to 5% was your percentage of lead to close.
Conversion rate. Which was good.
It was great. Like we were talking about, man, we got Google lead, especially Google pay-per-click was great.
And I want to point out, that's pretty good. I mean, the very best, you know, at this are going to run anywhere from, you know, 4%, maybe on up to, in the good old days, maybe you could get as high as 8%.
Yeah.
You know, and that's for somebody that's good. Somebody that, you know, a team, let's say that's not converting very well, that could be 1% or 2%.
Yeah. And that was back then. Nowadays, if you put me on the phone and I went crazy and this is all I did, I don't think I can get more than 1.5-2% conversion.
It'd be tough.
It'd be really, really tough. And I'm talking someone that is experienced and knows what to say and how to do the scripting and how to do the calls. So that basically shows me that over the course of the last 5 years, it's not necessarily the quality. It's just so much harder to convert with them because they're going to be talking to someone that came from Zillow and they trust Zillow's expertise in that field or in that market. So which one are they going to rather choose? If the same shopper came to your Keith's home sale site on Google and they clicked on it and they were searching for houses and I'm reaching out to them every single day, or they clicked on Zillow because they searched it directly, they got connected and paired with a Zillow local expert agent, and you have to compete with them with that, it's going to still be really tough for me to outplay something with that big of a budget that has that that quality customer experience that the consumer knows. So that's really the tough part about it, is you're really battling with mindsets as well as cost.
Yeah. So what does this mean for agents today? How is this stuff different? We see a lot of agents that, you know, will say, well, I don't want to pay that referral fee. Yeah. You know, but Zillow's taking all my business. Realtor.com's taking all. Opcity's taking all my business.
It
costs so much
money. Like it times 25-40% referral fees.
Yeah, whatever it is. And you know, a couple of things I would say to that. Number one, regardless of the lead source, you should never be relying on one lead source.
Never.
Okay. Never. So you have to have multiple streams of leads coming in, and I'll touch on that again. But the other thing that, you know, Keith and I always look at and talk about is, people don't factor in, and realtors do this all the time. This has nothing to do with just pay-per-clicks or these referrals. It is funny how realtors never factor in the true costs of anything. So yeah. If I had to go out there and get that lead, not only do I have whatever my advertising dollars and marketing budget is, but how much time did I spend trying to get those? How much time away did I spend from my family? If I'm doing the open houses, am I out there on the weekends? What other resources? Who else am I contracting with? Whatever the case may be, there's other costs that go in there to try to get conversions. And so part of the cost that they're not taking into account is what happens for me on the front end with any of these large referral networks is they're doing that for you. So now you've got prospects calling you. So I'm not putting out any money up front. I'm not budgeting anything. I'm not having to go find SEO people. I'm not doing that work. I'm not taking the time away from my family. I'm not going out there and spending all of my other resources trying to get the conversion. That's already done on there. So there is costs that go in there. So it's not just I'm giving this away for nothing. There are costs that you would have to do on the other end that people seem to somehow forget, like the leads would just magically show up if you weren't paying the referral.
Better.
Yeah. Like I have to pay this, otherwise I wouldn't have to pay this. Like, what do you mean you wouldn't have to pay it? Like you got to pay something. You've got all these other costs that you're not thinking about at all. First of all,
the number one asset you have as a real estate agent is time. And I'm not even talking about time to spend with your family. That should be put in your calendar regardless, right? That should already come off the top. But what are you doing with your business time? If you've allocated 30 hours a week to work on your business, what makes you more money? Consistently doing difficult lead generation, like an open house all day long. How much time did that take away if you could have just taken the leads already three stages ahead and just started showing them houses? How much further are you down that path? Yes, you might make more money in the scheme of what it looks like per lead. But how many leads were you able to actually close that way because you spent so much time finding them? And I think that's the difference. Finding them versus receiving them is a very, very interesting topic that people do not put any monetary value on that time.
And I'll think the last point to this, and this is where I say you need a shift in your mindset as to you should be building a business and you should be building a system of how you're getting your business and where your lead sources are coming from. And so think about this. What we said before was you should never just have one. Okay. Now, So just like he said, you're going to be spending a portion of your time working on your open houses, working on your social media, working on your referral base, working, you know, internet leads or referral leads from the internet. But think about this, and this always amazes me that people seem to forget this part. If I'm getting a lead from Realtor.com, OpCity, Zillow, whatever it is, and I'm paying out a referral, they did the work up front for me. Now I've got that. And yes, I may have made less on that because I've got to pay out the referral. But now, what did I do with that lead once it's closed, Keith?
You just turned it into a past client, Pete.
I turned it into a past client. So now I'm building my database.
Which is not even, you can't even put a value on something like that.
Correct. So I have someone else helping me build my past client list, my database, and my referral network, which we've already talked about, is tougher today than it was 10 years ago. But now I've got someone helping me. And am I paying referral fees on any of those other ones?
Nope.
Not paying referral fee on the, once they're in my past client database, that's my client. I'm not paying a referral fee the next go around. I'm not paying a referral fee when I sell their aunt's house or their sister's or their brother's house. And now I've got another person in my database and in my network because I am building a long-term business with systems and resources that are in place from many different lead sources, building a long-term database, and I'm using all the help that I can get. If I could throw a turbocharger on that and have these other big companies go spend their money and their time and their resources to help me build that.
Oh yeah.
I'm all for it.
Oh yeah. So when it comes down to it, the question that we started asking this topic was, should I pay for PPC? And the answer is yes, but it's how you pay for it. And I think that's what's really important. Internet leads are a great resource. They are. Now, do you think you should start doing Google pay-per-click and Facebook after this? Probably not, especially if you've never done it before. This is not the market to start learning how to do it and prepare for a long-term plan.
Right. And we've talked to other large team leaders that have cut it out completely.
Yeah. And we're one of them. We cut out a lot of those lead sources, not all of them entirely, because we do believe in a big pool of leads. But I would say 75% of those lead sources that we were paying for, pay-per-clicks, cost per leads, internet leads, generic lead sources of all sorts, we got rid of because we saw values in so many other areas. Now, if you're an agent as an individual and you don't have the opportunity to jump on Zillow or Realtor.com or some of these other sources because they are partnering with mega teams and brokerages and large corporations like that, then you need to shift your search to be, okay, what other lead sources can I do in the meantime? And then how do I get a part of those big projects and those big teams? You might need to start looking at that process and being like, okay, well, what does Zillow do for my business, or what do some of these other sources do?
Yep. So guys, I think hopefully that gives everybody an overview there. And just remember, you know, big picture here is build a whole business, build a whole, yes, a whole system with many different streams, many different lead sources, so that you're never stuck relying on something. If you need to go out and try to find a transaction next week, you can do that to make sure that your business is, you know, staying consistent and constantly flowing.
Yep. Cool, guys. So we appreciate everybody that listens to the podcast. Subscribe to us on kppodcast.com. Follow us on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, all of the major sites. You can send your questions at questions@kpeliteaz.com. And then if you guys would all be super kind and leave us a review, that really helps us get out there and be able to impact more people and impact more lives.
Yep. So anywhere you're listening to that podcast, guys, whatever source that's coming from, if you can give us a 5-star review on there, it'd be awesome. And we will see you guys next time.
Thanks, guys.